Your support is important to Living on Earth. Donate today by pressing the donate link on the left of this page. Every bit helps, and thanks.
It's Living on Earth. I'm Bruce Gellerman. From one of the most remote places on the planet, a familiar sound. Radio, a critical link empowering the people of Southern Sudan.
This is the voice of the community radio.
Hii ni sauti ya jamii radio.
Ngangaleng na radio radio torote dilisirata.
This is your community radio.
For more than two decades, Southern Sudan was the scene of one of the longest-lasting wars of the 20th century. Before it ended 3 years ago, nearly 2 million civilians were killed, and 4 million Southerners were forced to flee their homes. Now people are returning, and radio is helping to heal the nation. John Musa is a reporter with Internews in Southern Sudan. Internews is an international nonprofit organization that works to improve access to information for people around the world by fostering an independent media.
Nuba Mountain is a part of Sudan. It has never seen a development before and after independence of Sudan. And it was the dream of Nuba people to have radio because it's a simple way to give a message.
In the case of Sudan, Internews built 4 radio stations in the Civil War-torn south and powers them with sustainable, renewable energy. Deborah Ensor is Internews' program director in Sudan.
Since the war ended in South Sudan about 3 years ago, there's no real infrastructure here. There's no way for people to get information. There's not a lot of printing presses. There's not a lot of newspapers. A lot of people can't read because there hasn't been schools in South Sudan for many, many years. So radio is a really great way to reach people.
Well, radio is a really powerful medium, but how do you get power for your radio stations?
As I was saying earlier, there is no infrastructure in South Sudan, or very limited infrastructure, which means there's no electricity. So everything is powered by generators, and a generator is expensive, and they're somewhat difficult to maintain. So in some of our stations, we use solar and wind power. Sudan is a very hot place. It's very dry half of the year, and so the sun is a really, really great way to power some of the stations.
Some of these radio stations are located in incredibly remote mountainous regions.
Yes. Our station in Kauda, which is in the Nuba Mountains in South Sudan, is a very remote location. It's very mountainous. So when you are trying to send out a radio signal, it's very limited in its range because there are so many mountains around. It just sort of gets stuck in the valley. So we had to put our transmission tower in a remote transmission site, so way up on top of this hill in the mountains. Getting it up there was a whole nother matter in and of itself. We had over a ton of equipment that had to go on the top of this mountain, including 6 batteries that weigh about 60 kilograms apiece, 4 mass sections, more than 50 kgs of tools every day that had to go up and down. It's like a 90-minute hike to get up the hill. The temperature is 105, 110 degrees, and there's no vehicles that can go up there. So we hired a lot of local women from the community. They carried up all of the equipment, something like 20 kilos per load on their heads. And it's amazing. I would go up this hill, and I would be so plum-tuckered by the time I get up there, and I'm not even carrying anything but myself and a bottle of water, you know, and these women are carrying 20 or 30 kilos on top of their head, and they're walking barefoot or in sandals, and they're laughing and singing along the way, and it's very easy for them.
Deb, why women? Didn't the men do this?
You know, the men did other jobs. The men carried the batteries because it took 4 men to carry 1 battery because they were so heavy. But generally speaking, women do a lot of the work.
You sent us some audio from going up this mountain. Let's listen to it now.
We're just approaching the Voice of the Community mast on the top of the mountain.
This is Ellie Dobbing. She's our media training manager.
We've walked up to look at it. You can hear the wind turbines spinning.
Well, for this remote transmission site, it's 100% solar and wind powered because it is way on the top of this mountain and there's no other way to get any kind of source of energy up there. The station itself, which is down at the bottom of the mountain, about 50% of it is operated with solar panels and the other 50% is backed up with a generator.
So, Deb, how do people power their radios if there's no electricity available?
There's several NGOs that give out radios as part of their projects, and they are these terrific little solar-powered and hand-crank radios.
I understand you have a problem with roaming cows and goats affecting the station. How's that?
Yeah. Well, you know, all of these areas are agricultural areas. Everyone has cows, everyone has goats. They sort of just free roam anywhere, and you're trying to record on the air, and you can hear in the background the bleating of goats, you know, the feet of the cows padding by. So you have to be very careful when you're setting up sensitive equipment to make sure that it's fenced off very well so that roaming animals don't destroy it by accident.
Deb, this is community radio that you're doing. This is run by the people who live there. Have they ever done community radio or any radio?
Yeah, it is community radio, and that's what's so fantastic about this project, right? It's like you go to these communities, and people there are not journalists. You know, they're farmers, they are teachers, they are people who have been relocated after the war. They're just returning home after years of being away in refugee camps or being in other countries. So it's just fantastic. They have this interest in helping their communities and in helping in peace and reconciliation in their communities by giving information. So we train them completely from scratch. How to open the computer, how to turn it on, how to get audio, how to edit, how to interview. It's just amazing when you hear the output. The communities are just thrilled with these stations. You know, they're so excited to hear them. It's fantastic. It's just the enthusiasm and the excitement for people to be able to hear radio and to hear it in their own language. We broadcast in more than 10 different languages. It provides them with information about so many things. Things like early marriage, you know, and why is it important for young girls to stay in school. You know, if there's a malaria outbreak, the station informs what to do and where it's happening. And it does a lot of really funny, great, wonderful little things too. You know, they have these community hours where people in the community can just come into the station and make announcements on the air. They talk about their lost cows. They come in to sing folk songs, and they just really grasp onto it and really participate.
I've consulted with Internews overseas, and I've worked with them at setting up radio stations around the world. Where does it go from here, Deb?
What we're trying to do is to build the capacity of the staff and of the community to be able to run the station on their own. The idea is that at the end of the day, Internews will leave, and these stations will remain behind, and there'll be a cadre of journalists that are able to put together accurate and fair and interesting information for their communities, and that they can do it on their own.
Deborah, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Bruce. I appreciate it, too.
Deborah Ensor is program director for Internews in Sudan, where the wind and sun are powering radio stations and empowering people.